But I want to get into a message this morning that I want to talk about your soul. All right? The soul sound is what I'm calling it. All right? You ever have a moment where you just feel deep in your soul, something just feels good? Right? You ever have that moment? Nobody? Okay, well, I have. I mean, yeah, thanks, Deb. That's amazing. Yeah, you know, I'll say for me, it's like there are a couple of things. Like, if I'm on my motorcycle, and you know, praise the Lord for motorcycles. That's a gift from the Lord. But the wind's blowing through my hair, and the sun is on my face. Why is this funny? This is my moment. And I can just feel it. I'm like, man, this feels good. And I especially, being out in the woods, can I tell you, I don't know how many of you are hikers, but the smell of leaves and trees and the sound of moving water and just all of it, I just, there's moments like these, I'm just like, oh, it just feels so good in my soul. I can feel it. I can tell you too, I've had moments in life where my soul hurt. Something deep inside of me, my soul was just in anguish. And it's not easy. But I want to look at our soul today. I had a picture of a cassette tape up here, and I was kind of laughing as I asked this in the first service. But how many of you have had a cassette tape in your life? Right? How many of you have never touched a cassette tape? Never put your hands on one? I know some of our teens in the back, right? Yeah, okay, some of our younger kids, right? Jonathan, you've never touched a cassette tape. Okay, be a man and admit that, all right? This was your moment. Listen. Here's my next question for you, all right? How many of you have ever made a mixtape? Oh, yeah. Now, that was next level, okay? I remember being a kid. I had to explain this to Pastor Matt in the first service. He's like, what's a mixtape? I'm like, okay, so the tape player had two sides, and on one side you played, on the other side you recorded, and you could pick any song you want and put together a tape of your favorite songs. And when I was a kid, I used to pretend that I was like a radio DJ. And so, like, I'd record a song, and then I'd do all the DJ stuff in between and record that, too, and be like, and next up on the top of the charts, you know, just all this stuff. And I'd play it for my parents, and they'd be like, okay. What's that doctor's name again? We should... It was the precursor to mixed CDs. How many of you have ever had a mixed CD, right? Why do we do this? We put these things together because there are certain things that... just touch our soul. And can I tell you, I don't know if any of you have ever experienced, music touches my soul. Worship and music, it just touches a part of my soul. And there are songs that I listen to. That, you know, this morning I got in my office. I was a little grumpy when I got in this morning. And I put on Nothing Else by Cody Carnes. It's I'm caught up in your presence and I just want to be at your feet. Nothing else matters. And it's something touches my soul in those moments. But there are a couple of thoughts I wanted to dive into today. Three questions that I want to wrestle with today. Number one, what is your soul? What is it? Because I think for most of us, it's just like, well, that's that part that lives after you die. It goes to heaven or it goes to hell. Let's talk about that. How do you care for your soul? How do you take care of it? And then what does it mean to lose it? What does it mean to lose your soul? Because here's the reality. We have greatly reduced the concept of our souls and soul keeping in modern church as compared to what it was in the Bible when it was written. There are two words in the Bible, Hebrew and Greek, because the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, the New Testament is written in Greek. But in Hebrew, it's nephesh, and in Greek, it's psuche, and both are your soul. And here's what they meant by soul. The very essence of your being. The complete and total sum parts of who you are. Your soul is you. You know, and it's not just that part of you that is going to live on after you die. It's not just that part of you that it's either going to go to heaven or it's going to go to hell. Because I don't know about you, as I just described a few moments ago, there are times and spaces in this lifetime where we either experience the joy of our soul or the anguish of our souls. It exists right here and right now. And if it exists, then we need to understand it and understand how we can feed it and what it means to lose it. So I want to read a few scriptures for you. Now, again, some of these may not be translated as soul in your Bible, but the reason I kind of highlighted this for you is because in the original languages, that's what the word is. In the Old Testament, it's that nephesh, and in the New Testament, it is psuche. All right? So these are some of scriptures that maybe you've looked at before that this is what they're talking about when they said soul. So first is Genesis 2:7. It says, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the life into him, into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living soul. A living soul. He says, he is now everything. Now, he had a body, right? God had formed him from the dust of the ground. He was already there. But when God himself breathed into him and he came to life, he said, at this moment, you have become a soul. Now you are the total package, right? Fast forward here. Psalm 23, verses 1 to 3. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my soul. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Some translations translate that as strength. He gives me new strength, right? But here's what it says. He's renewing me, my entire fiber, my being. Go ahead to Psalm 42:11. And David, why am I so discouraged? Why is my soul so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Dealing with that anguish of the soul. Going forward to Jesus, Matthew 10:28, he says, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God who can destroy both soul and body in hell. We're seeing a theological distinction here. Your soul is not your body. Your body is not your soul. But your soul still encompasses your entire being. And then you've probably heard this before, Matthew 8, verses 36 to 37. He says, what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Right? For some of you who grew up in the 70s, you're like, I feel like we're back in the 70s talking about all this soul stuff here. 1 Peter 2:11, this is an important one. He says, dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very soul. He says, there are things in this world that are combating a deep part of you that you do not fully understand. And it's waging a war against you that if it beats you up, you'll begin to feel the depravity of your own soul. And what do we say this a lot? Maybe if you grew up in the church, you heard this 90s, early 2000s, they were saying it all the time. We've all got a God-shaped hole, right? That only God can fill. Why? Because God made us, and that is that soul part of us that only God can heal. We'll talk about that more in just a few minutes here. But I want to show you what we're talking about here. So what is a soul? It is the part of us that aligns our whole being with God. Your soul is the part of you that aligns everything else in your world with God. And I want to show you what that looks like, because I'm going to show you some parts of your body you may not know you had, okay? This is not an anatomy lesson. I have pictures, so don't be scared, all right? Here's the first thing. First is your will. Okay? Now I want to help you to understand the difference between your will, okay? Your will is your intentions. Put it this way, right? My will, oftentimes when I go out to eat, tells me, I'm not going to eat the bread this time. I don't want to do it. My will's telling me it's not good for you. You shouldn't eat the bread. And I do this to myself. I'm going to go to Texas Roadhouse, and I'm only going to have steak. It's because steaks, praise the Lord for steak. I mean, come on. God is good. Praises only you. Yeah. I mean, you have a steak like that, you cut into it, and it's like, only you deserve all my. I mean, there's worship happening. But here's my will. And if we were just living in this place of will, we would be totally different people, right? Because my intentions are always good. Like, right? We ever hear the phrase, the road to hell is paved with what? Good intentions. That's my will. That's who I want to be. That's what I want to be. It's what I want to do. My will is this. And a lot of times, especially as we come to learn about God, we start to align our will to God. We're like, I want the things of God. But then there's another part of me. It's the next part. It's my mind. All right? Now, my will says to me, you're going into Texas Roadhouse. Do not eat those rolls. Don't do it. My will is like, okay, we're not eating those rolls. And my mind says, that's right. We need a plan. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to walk right past those rolls. That's what we're going to do. We're going to march in there like we own this place. And when she says, you all want rolls, I'm going to be like, no. And my will's like, that's right. That's what you're doing. Okay, but there's another part of us. It's my body. As I'm walking past the countertop where they have a seemingly endless supply of these rolls, like, is this somebody's sole job in this place is just keep making those rolls? and cinnamon butter, praises only you deserve. Like, and you smell it, and something ancient in your ancient body, down from your ancestors, that just begins to speak and says, we need a connection with carbohydrates. There's something, it's deep, right? It's not, your will already said this is not, we're done. We're not doing this. The mind was like, yes, I'm on board. The body goes, do you smell that? And the mind goes, oh yeah, I did. Oh yeah, I did. And Will's over here going, no, 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 no. And the mind's going, okay, just one. Basket. And then you get them, they're warm, and you put that cinnamon butter on them, and you feel that last part of you, your soul. Praises only you deserve. Now, arguably, you didn't need four baskets of them. I'm not disagreeing, all right? I'm not pointing fingers, all right? Literally, Jess and I have gone out to dinner in those seasons of life. You know, you go through those that you're like, we're going to avoid carbs for a while. Go out to dinner. We do. We tell them no. And then a manager walks up and goes, hey, I noticed you didn't have any rolls. Jess and I, this literally happened. We're like, this is from the Lord. I mean, who are we to fight the Lord's will right now? It's like manna. Like, we didn't ask for it. We tried to avoid it, but still, here it is. When you look at these circles, they're all different sizes, right? And I don't want us to get that picture in our minds, because the reality is that each one of us has parts. These are parts of us. They're all about the same size. But they need to come into alignment with one another in order to function correctly. So another question for you to see how old you are. How many of you have ever had one of those old projection TVs that had the three bulbs inside of it? You had to align them? Yeah, so here's how it used to work. Before we got these flat screens, they were TVs that were roughly the size of a house themselves, okay? But you're like, whoa, I got a big screen. And inside them were these three bulbs that shot at a mirror that then shot back to the screen. But here's the thing. The three bulbs were showing the picture in three different colors, and you had to get them to align perfectly with one another or the picture looked terrible. All right? So you had to constantly, with the remote, I'd go in there and I'm trying to fix it. Jess would be like, can we just watch the movie? I'm like, no, I see a little bit of yellow over here. And I'm trying to fix it all the time. This is the reality of what it looks like in our souls. That soul is the wide and encompassing thing that speaks to the very core of who and what we are. But when any other aspect of our lives, our will, our mind, or our body begin to move outside of the things of God, something happens to us that we can feel instantly. It's a sickness in our soul. You can feel it. You can feel it the moment that it happens. Now, here's how we cope with that. We have a great coping mechanism. It's called denial. I'm just going to ignore it. It's not that bad. It's not that bad. I can feel it. I know it's there. But if I just ignore it, it'll go away, right? But it doesn't. That's what your soul is. It's that part of you that needs connection with God, that wants every aspect of your life, wants your will, your mind, and your body to all be going in the exact same direction towards God's plans for your life. And when any one of those starts to get outside of that alignment, you feel it because your soul gets sick. All right, so if my soul is sick, how do I care for my soul? What am I supposed to do to care for this soul that I have? Because I know we can all say, we've all been there. We've all had moments where we feel that our soul is just not in alignment with God. So how do we fix that? Well, I want to look at something that is a great distinction here first and foremost. There is a big difference between soul care and self-care. All right? Self-care is this idea that I need to get more of what I want in my life, more of my own happiness, my happy place, my zen, whatever you want to call it. We give it all kinds of names. And if I get all of those things, if some of those outward things begin to change, then I'll feel better on the inside. Here's the problem with that theory. History has mountains of testimonies of individuals who got everything they wanted and died miserable. Because they never cared for their souls. And here's the truth. You can do all these things. And listen, it's a fun daydream, right? Imagine not ever having to think about money ever again. Imagine if we could just buy whatever we want and whatever we need. And then you start to tell yourself about how benevolent you would be then. And we would give money away and we'd help people. Here's the truth. We are constantly trying to fix the outward in hopes that it will somehow affect the inward, the soul. Because your soul is not just what's going to live on after you die. Your soul is you. God breathed life into you and you became a living soul, a soul in need of connection with God, a soul that needs your will, mind, and body to be in connection and in the same direction as God. And when you're not, you start to feel the sickness inside of your own soul that nothing else can fix. But here's what we do. I need a new job. If I got a new job, I would feel much better. I'm having a lot of inner turmoil, and that new job would change things. It's my spouse. If I had a different husband, if I had a different wife, I would feel much better. This one's worn out. We've been married 10 years. It was a great run, but I'm just not happy anymore. I'm not me anymore. And we start to justify. I just got to fix this. I need a new car. This new car would help me and I'd feel better. Or we need a different house or we need to move. And you hear all of these things that we start to list. If I just had, and all these outside things, we're like, if I could just change this outside thing, then I'd feel something better inside. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. You can change all the outward things in the world and never affect the inner part of your soul. Soul care is very different from self-care and just getting everything that you want. But I want to show you this word in Greek that is the soul. It is psuche. If you look at it, it looks like psyche. It is actually the root word for the word psychology. Now, here's what's interesting. You know that when psychology was created, it was literally created as a way of creating harmony in the soul. They're like, they're individuals that we come in contact with that are out of alignment in their very core of their being, and we need to adjust them to have them come to a place of peace in their soul. That was called psychology. This is where we get the word from. Now, we've gotten a little all off course from there, okay? Here's some of the issues that we see now, right? And I was listening to a podcast not too long ago from a Dr. Carl Truman, who is from Grove City College. Great, really great on gender and all these other things that he talks about. But he says, here's what we've done in psychology. It used to be that if somebody walked into the room and they said to their doctor, I think I'm a dog, then the doctor would say, well, you're not a dog. That's an issue with your mind. And we need to fix your mind to get it back into alignment with your body. But he says, we've had a very serious transition in the last decade. Where when somebody goes into the office and they say, I think I'm a dog. We look at their body and we go, well, your body's not in alignment with that. We better change your body. That's literally where psychology. Now, again, let's back up. Same foundation, right? What are they trying to do? They're saying, you're out of alignment, your soul is in anguish, you don't feel right within yourself. Like, we should have some compassion for individuals who this is their struggle. And listen, you know the whole gender identity thing? This is the reality of it. Something in my mind tells me this, but my body's saying this. Well, they're out of alignment, their soul is in anguish. We should be compassionate towards those who have an anguished soul. But we're not helping anybody by saying, well, then we need to change your body to bring it into alignment with your mind. And church, I mean, this is where we're at right now. Did you know we have schools in America that have litter boxes in them? That's not a joke. That's not a stretch of the imagination. There's a whole movement of individuals, the furries, who think they're cats and dogs, and schools have put litter boxes in the bathrooms for people who think they're cats to go to the bathroom. It is sick. But you know what? My soul has been just as sick as theirs before. My soul has been just as sick as theirs. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul speaks this to the Thessalonian church. He says, may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. And we're all like, oh, that sounds great. How's that going to happen? He says, right here. God will make this happen for you, for he who calls you is faithful. He can do it. God can fix it. How do I care for my soul? I have to recalibrate my inner world. It is not, please hear me, if you tuned out everything else I said today other than the rolls from Texas Roadhouse, come back for a moment. I know you're getting hungry. You cannot fix the sickness in your soul by changing any or every outward thing. It will only happen when you begin to focus on your soul and its need for God. So what does that look like? Well, here's one of the hard parts that it is for us to understand. We love the fact that we have free will. It's our favorite thing. We have free will. We can do what we want, where we want, when we want, how we want, with who we want. We have autonomy to choose and do anything. And here's the hard part, is that in the midst of choosing to do whatever we want, again, we see time and time again, those who have that option and the means to get whatever they want, whenever, wherever they want, however they want, and they're miserable, dying from overdoses, committing suicide. Why? Because you can't fix the soul on the outside. You've got to recalibrate on the inside. And only God can do that. So if you're going to take that, the only way to do it, the only way to find real peace, real freedom, real hope, real joy, is surrender. God, my body is not in alignment with your will. My mind is not in alignment with your will. Some of the things that I desire are not in alignment with your will. God, I surrender these things to you. Will you take them? Will you help me? Will you fix them? James 1, 5, and 6, you've probably read this before. Let me tell you what it actually says in the original language. He says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with a divided soul is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. The word there in the original Greek literally means dual soul, divided soul. I split my soul between what I wanted in the earthly realm and what I wanted in the spirit realm. I split my soul between godly things and Chris things. And when I did that, I became like a wave that's just tossed by the wind. I became aimless and broken, and nothing was going to fix that. As long as I continued to try to do it on the outside, the only way that I was going to find harmony in my soul is to surrender those broken parts of me to the one who is able to bring healing. Church, can I tell you that if you're in a place where you feel the sickness of your own soul, you don't need a new spouse. You don't need a new job. You don't need a new car. You don't need a new house. You don't need a new hobby, a different title, more notoriety. The sickness you are experiencing is that of the soul. And changing all of those things in the world will never fix what's going on in your soul. Because it's not just what's going to live on when you die, it's who you are now. And if we want peace, then we're going to have to ask God and believe that he gives generously and not be dual-souled, living this way one way, living this way another day, this way with these people, this way with those people. We have to come to the place of saying, I, in all of I am that I am, and every fiber of my being is going to be solely and committed to God alone. I'm going to do what he's called me to do. And God, help me with the areas of my mind, body, and will that are not in alignment with your desires for my life because my soul is hurting. Lastly, what does it mean to lose your soul? Mark 8, 36 and 37, Jesus says, and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? You know, we often read that and we think to ourselves, well, he's talking about dying and going to hell. He's saying that, you know, what would it do for you to get everything you want in the world? And, you know, you had every worldly pleasure. And we seem to imagine individuals like that as just being these unbelievably happy individuals because they're living the life they want to live and doing whatever they want to do and getting whatever they want to get. But we tell ourselves, you know, when they die, their soul's going to pay the price for that. So we create a list of do's and don'ts, and we look at the Bible that way, and we're like, the Bible's just all these, don't do this, and don't do that, and stay away from this, and stay away from that. And we reduce the Bible that it's like, it's just a rule book. But when Jesus wrote these words, when he spoke these words, he was not just talking about your eternity. He was talking about your life. What good does it do you to chase after and even get everything you could ever want and in the process become so sick in your soul that you hate who you are? And we see it. Billionaires, millionaires, movie stars, people with power and politics and everything, we see it. They die as lonely, depraved individuals. Some who often take their own lives either intentionally or accidentally. Because there was no fixing what was broken in them. What does it mean to lose your soul? To fall out with yourself and God? God created you to have connection with Him. God created you to be a spiritual being that all of you is living for His glory. And when any part of you, your will, your mind, your body, your intentions, your integrity, your actions, your attitudes, your responses. Well, I didn't mean to blow up on that person. My will says I want to be a patient person, but my body just runs off sometimes. I don't mean to have those thoughts, but my mind just wanders sometimes. It's because your soul is sick. Well, what do I do? How do I fix it? Is there something I can say or read or do? Or there's only one place you find healing. It's at the feet of Jesus. I can't fix you. Nobody in this room can fix you. I can't take away the hurt of your soul, the brokenness of your soul, the anguish of your soul. I can't change the fact that there might be decisions in this lifetime that you've made that have robbed you of your very soul. You can feel the sickness in yourself. But I know a guy. Guy who says, come unto me, all you who are weary. You got all kinds of burdens. Your souls are sick. And I'll give you rest. I'll lay a yoke upon you that is easy and it's light. It's not like this life. It's not like this world. It's not like everything you've been chasing. It's not like all those things that robbed you of your joy and your peace. It's something that gives you what Paul describes in Philippians as the peace that passes all understanding. That even in the midst of a storm, in the midst of brokenness, in the midst of anguish and fear and doubt and anger, I'm still safe because I know a guy. Church, I want you to experience that soul sound in your life. I don't want you to just be good Christians. I want you to be healthy souls. Our aim should not be to just be people who are getting it right according to the rule book, but people whose lives are in alignment with the will and heart of God. Because here's the truth. Once that happens, nothing else can touch you. Nothing else can touch you. My friend Nancy Buchanan told me that. For those of you who don't know Nancy, she died about 2 weeks ago of brain cancer. In the greatest amount of peace I've ever seen in my life. Why? My soul is right. I didn't share this in the first service, but there's an old hymn. You might know it. It says, "It is well with my soul." The man who wrote it sent his wife and their three daughters over the sea back to Europe, and he was going to meet them later. And he gets a telegram from her that says, "Saved alone. What should I do?" And their ship had sunk on the crossing, and all of his daughters were killed. Just his wife survived. And as he's making the passage back over to Europe himself, they tell him, "We're at the very spot where your daughters perished and went under the waves." And he stood there and he wrote, "When peace like a river attends to my way, and when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever the cost, God has taught me to say, it is well with my soul." I hope you can experience that kind of peace in your soul. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you that you care for our souls. Not just about our lives and our actions and deeds and attitudes. These are such a small aspect of what it means to be loved by you. You are the lover of our souls. You loved our souls so much that you willingly died in our place, took upon yourself our brokenness and our sickness so that we could be redeemed. We who deserve punishment got a gift. You healed our souls. And God, I pray for every single one of us that we would experience the kind of peace that even when sorrows like sea billows roll, we'll be able to say, "God, it is well within my soul. You've been good." As we're in prayer this morning, I just want to ask you if you're here. I don't want to ask you if you're a Christian. I don't want to ask you if you've ever accepted Jesus into your heart. I don't want to ask you if you've ever said the sinner's prayer. I want to ask you one question. Is your soul sick? Do you feel that sickness within your own soul? That something's just not right. I don't have the peace I want to have. I don't have the joy that I want to have. I don't have the things that God says I should have. If that's you, I want to ask you to slip up a hand. I want to pray for you this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Quite a few of us. Yeah, thank you. You know, whether you raised your hand or not, I'd like to lead you in a prayer that is the starting point. Because the beginning of the healing of our souls is at the cross. The blood of Jesus that was shed for us, that reconciled our broken relationship with God. And that's the beginning. But I want to pray from there forward that God would help you to bring into alignment every aspect of your being until all of it is surrendered to Jesus, all of it moving right, and you'll be able to say, "It is well with my soul." So will you pray this with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving my soul and dying to save my soul. I love you. And I ask you to come into my heart and rescue me right here and now, and not just my eternity. I want my soul to live for your glory. In Jesus' name. God, I lift up those who raised their hand, or maybe some who might be watching us online. They can feel the sickness in their own souls. They can feel that something is not right. And God, I pray that you just begin to speak to the broken areas of our lives and help us, God. You said that you would do it. You would be the one to do it. That all we had to do was come to you and surrender. Jesus, you said, "Come to me, you who need rest. I've got it for you." Lord, we believe that and we cling to that promise from you. And I just pray that for my friends in here who raised their hand and said, "There's a sickness in my soul and I know that only Jesus can fix it." God, I pray that you'd bring us to a place of repentance, sorrow, for the ways that we've tried to heal our souls outside of you. That we would reject and refuse those things and submit ourselves wholly unto God. God, I pray for all of my friends in here and those watching online, that whatever the cost, you will teach us to say, it is well with my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Pastor Matt, will you come and close us?
When your soul is right with God, nothing can touch you, and he gives you the peace that passes all understanding. I think that that is so challenging to me, that healing is only found at the feet of Jesus. Healing and rest for your soul is found at the feet of Jesus alone. I love that. I love that. And my question for you today that I'm left with is, what do you need to say yes to, and what do you need to say no to surrender fully your soul to God? What do you need to say yes to? What do you need to say no to surrender your soul fully to God? I'm just so honored and glad that you guys are here, and I hope that that message is as encouraging and inspiring to you as it is to me. A couple reminders coming up. Maybe you're here today and you're thinking, man, I need to know more about this. I need to know about the soul, or what God has for me next. We have our Next Steps class coming up. If you've never been a part of it, it is an incredible experience for you not only to know more about our church, but more about what we believe and what are your next steps in your faith journey. It's just an incredible opportunity for you in that arena. That's coming up, so I encourage you to sign up and get involved with that if you never have. We also, just a logistic for today, right now, we are getting our parking lot resurfaced on the garage side of the parking lot. So if you would, as you leave today, if you're planning to stay, if you would just move your car to the pavilion side of the parking lot, that would be incredible. We would so appreciate that. If you would do that for us, that'd be so great. We want to say a special welcome to all of our new guests. I would love the opportunity to get to meet you right outside of the double doors. To the left is our welcome banner. I would love the opportunity to meet you there. Well, thank you again for coming to Family Life Church today. We love you. Be blessed. Have a great week. We'll have our prayer team up at the front if you need anything. And greet somebody as you go today. Have a great week.